Good morning. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
It's funny. We were just talking about P-51s and insurance with
and
us this
who
morning.
Should walk in?
Who should walk in but Bob Mackey from the Falcon Insurance Company or agency talking about what else? Aviation insurance. Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good now.
We're getting better. We're getting our insurance for the P-51.
That's right. For the P-51 we don't have. But anyway.
That's doable.
That is doable?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine the premiums on the $2 million airplane or whatever they're worth these days.
I tell you, working with EA membership is fun because it's such an eclectic bunch of people. And the airplanes that they fly are just as eclectic. It's from ultralights to warbirds and everything in between. You know, it's fun. And every time you get a phone call or an email or a request for a quote, it's exciting because it's just new. It's something different.
Do you ever get one of those ones where it's like the 21-year-old kid that wants to insure his Corsair, and you're like, yeah, right, sure, kid.
You know, you just don't believe what you get sometimes. You know, family's got a turbocharged, a fast glass airplane, and they've got a 15-year-old they want to start learning to fly. And I say never until you know it's never. You know, because, you know, sometimes if people call up and you'll tend to want to say, oh, that's not going to be doable. And then you start researching it, talking to some of the underwriters and finding out that, hey, you can get this done. Will it be expensive? Yeah, it'll be expensive. But, you know, some people have goals and they get all their ducks in a row and go for it.
Yeah, sometimes money is not near as important as the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the major determining factor in how much it's going to cost? The type of airplane or the pilot's experience, that kind of thing?
Actually, it's all of that. And in fact, I'm doing a forum on Friday at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the forums area on cost factors for aircraft insurance. And, you know, the airplane you choose and how it matches up to your pilot experience, the value of the airplane, where you're going to base it at, your experience, age. Age does come into factor. You know, and so all of those things are, it's kind of like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, you know, little pieces. And fortunately, we've got a real good repertoire of underwriters right now. We've got about 16 different insurance companies that we represent. And everybody has their niche. Some people like warbirds. Some people do seaplanes. You've got a rotor wing. You know, just some of them are just plain Jane vanilla stuff. But a lot of them, you know, have their niche that they excel in. We've got a powered parachute or a trike. We've got a company for that. You know, and so you just kind of got to put all the jigsaw pieces together, make a picture out of it.
What about home builds?
Home builds are easy.
Are they? I mean, what about if it's my design, never been flown before?
One of a kinds are not a problem. Well, usually when you run into a one of a kind, there's usually some similarities to something else that's out there. And if you get that pilot's experience on that similar aircraft, you can show that to the underwriters. A good broker will gather all those pieces together, go to the underwriter and say, okay, now, it's got tailwheel time, it's a tailwheel airplane, but this is a different airplane, it's got a different engine, and it's one of a kind design. You draw the parallels so that the underwriter can make, you know, as long as they can connect the dots, then they'll give you the terms and you can get it done. If you go in with just, you know, half-baked information, you're not going to get a good, proposal for them. So it's incumbent upon the broker to really do the research and ask all the questions and gather the details. Because if you don't, you're not going to get a good picture.
Okay, so that's your job, yep. not me as the pilot.
Yeah.
I'm there to answer questions. Yep. But you have to know which ones to ask me.
Yeah, the biggest thing for the pilot is to find the right broker to work with. You know, you got to find somebody that knows the industry. I mean, you don't call up your insurance agent to handle your homeowners and your auto insurance because they're not airplane insurance specialists. And people don't call me about their homeowners and auto insurance because I don't know how to do that stuff. You know, aviation is what we do.
And it's a different animal.
Yep, exactly.
You mentioned age. Now, as pilots age, does the insurance typically get less costly, or does it increase in cost?
Premiums increase in matching the pilot to the airplane. I had a really excellent client for many years, flew in his Bear until he was 92. But again, he was doing recurrent training every 6 months, get an IPC check, a biannual, and any time he was flying IFR, he took a check pilot with him. He adjusted his flying to his age, and he stayed proficient and really worked on it. If you don't do that, it's going to be a little more difficult. The other thing is, you know, as pilots get, you know, get senior and get up there with their age, they may want to consider flying a different airplane that's more suited to their flying activities. You know, somebody who's going to fly cross country in an airplane, that's a major undertaking. You know, you got to be experienced, you got to be ready for it, as you get older, you may say, I'm not going to do that, but I still want to fly. I want to fly something local. I want to take my 100-mile trips and that sort of thing. So, again, you match yourself up with the right airplane. But, yeah, the premiums do go up with age, and it's up to us. We've got a couple of underwriters right now that are not age-adverse. They'll take pilots at any age. We did one the other day at 93.
Wow.
And, again, right pilot, right airplane, proficiency was there, and they were willing to, keep going. And I always tell our customers, keep flying. You know, if you come up for renewal on your insurance, you've only flown 20 hours in the last year, you're not going to have a pretty picture when you got to work on your renewal. You know, your renewal terms are going to go up. But if you fly in 75, 80 hours a year and stay proficient, you're going to be okay.
Well, that's always been the key to safe flying is recurrent training and proficiency.
Yeah.
Is there any one aircraft when you say, no, I'm sorry, we cannot help you?
Actually, no.
So you guys have never hit that wall?
No. I shouldn't say that. There's been occasionally a case where the pilot, the airplane, and you just really couldn't get one set of terms, and they were really adverse. They were not attractive to the person, and they just said, well, maybe I don't want to do that. But I generally always can get a proposal together for the client, and sometimes you run into it. It's just adverse. But like I said, my motto is never say never until you know it's absolutely never.
Well, here's another question for you. Which is the costlier part of the insurance? Is it hull insurance or the liability?
Hull insurance, absolutely. If you take a $50,000 home built, it's got $1 million liability. Liability insurance with a qualified pilot, probably someplace between $200, $300 on the liability side. A $50,000 airplane could be someplace between $800 and $1,200 on the physical damage coverage. Now, that's directly related to that insurance companies pay more physical damage claims, hull insurance claims, than they do liability claims. Ding a wingtip, got a $5,000 claim. You know?
Right. Hail damage.
You got a $50,000 or $20,000 claim. There's no liability connected to that. But so what we do with people is if it's a new account or it's a renewal account, we always give them options. Give them a liability only quote, give them a liability with ground, not in motion, physical damage, ground, not in motion, including taxi, or what we call all risk, including flight and everything else. So they can size up their options and do a little personal risk management and say, okay, well, I'm flying 100 hours a year. I've got 200 hours in this airplane. I'm stand proficient. I know this airplane. This airplane knows me. I'm going to go with ground only and liability because I can, and then I'll still have protection for hail storms, thunderstorms, tornadoes, and all that kind of stuff, vandalism, theft. Those things I can't really control as well. I can control my flying, but I can't control the other part. So they might save themselves $500-$600 a year by getting a good match. And our job is to show the people the options so that they can make a good personal risk management decision, and then they say, and then they're happy. They'll stick with you, and you start to build that trust relationship that you want to have with your customer.
What information should I bring with me when I want to go sit down and talk to you guys about insurance?
I would say generally all the pilots can give off the top of their head the information we need. They know their airplane, they know their hours, and within reason. You don't have to out their actual pilot hours down to the exact hours. Get that information. And with that, we can go and get the pricing from the market for the different companies.
If I was buying a used airplane, does the condition of the airplane affect the insurance premium?
Yeah, it does. And typically, that's related. If somebody comes in with an airplane that is about a $40,000, $50,000 airplane average market value, and they want to insure for $20,000, we're going to ask a question right away. Because we don't want them to underinsure, because they'll think they're saving money, but they're really risking the loss of their airplane. But if they say, well, the airplane's kind of not in great shape, we need to know that, because the underwriter's going to also notice that value, and they're going to question it also. There's give and take there we work with. If we go to the underwriter and say, the airplane's not in great shape, it's got a high-time engine, the underwriters are going to charge a little bit more probably on that because of the condition of the aircraft.
Okay.
If you park the airplane in a hangar when you're not flying it, your home base airport, you've got a hangar for it, does that affect your insurance cost too?
Typically, there's about a 5% differential for a hangared airplane versus a tied-down airplane. But if you're hanging your airplane at your home airport, but you fly someplace else and you tie it down and it gets a hailstorm, it's still covered. No, that's expected, that the airplane is not always going to be hangered. But you're going to get about a 5% credit on your insurance for the physical damage if you're hangering it at home.
Now, that I never would have thought of.
Would a tube and fabric airplane typically command a slightly higher premium than a metal?
Very good point. They do. And it's because the skill set to repair that airplane is, it's not out there in every shop. So if you got a tube and fabric, a Cub, gets damaged, you might have to have that transported to another airport to get it repaired. Whereas if it's a Cessna 140, the shops have the skill set to work on the metal plane, so the cost factors are less. It's going to cost you more to insure a tube and fabric airplane.
Great. How do I find out more about you guys? Are you around here on the field this week?
We've got an exhibit, outdoor exhibit space 262. It's just outside on the north side of Exhibit Hangar B. It's that big sign that says EAA Insurance Solutions. We're the official insurance agency for EAA members. And we handle also other programs, the ABS, the Mooney Society, Seaplane Association. And so we're kind of the go-to place for insurance.
And on the web through EAA?
Yep, www.eaa.org/insurance.
Very good. That's easy enough. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you are listening to EAA Radio.